Wednesday, November 20, 2019. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. We're recording this episode early, and this one, relative to our other episodes, is going to be a shorty. Relative to most podcasts you listen to, is actually right on par. So, I don't know. It kind of makes me feel good as I came into this morning thinking, man, like, I feel bad only being able to put out, like, a 40-45 minute episode. It's really all we have time to record. And I was like, wait, what am I talking about? Like, 45 minutes? That's fine. That's plenty.
It's all relative, Tim.
It is. We've set the bar, man, for ourselves, for the rest of the podcasting industry. Do better.
That might be podcasting hubris, Tim.
Might be. That's fine. I'll take it. I'm in a good mood. We're recording this early because as you are listening to this, as this hits your podcast feed, I will be in the Pennsylvania wilderness doing my thing. Eric, doing my thing. We got a listener emailed us last week asking us to learn a little bit more about ourselves. Anybody who's been paying attention knows that I enjoy some hiking, and that is something that I will be doing next week. Eric, it'll be the final portion of the Appalachian Trail that I need to do in the state of Pennsylvania. After that, I will have done all 220 miles of Appalachian Trail in the state of Pennsylvania.
That will be 220 miles more than I have done.
or
aspire to do. So I will wait until you complete it. There will be a hearty congratulations on the other end waiting for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One thing I realized, Eric, something that I don't know if it dawned on me the last time I went hiking in Pennsylvania. And then I think before that, it really hadn't been a thing quite yet. But there's mobile gaming in Pennsylvania.
Do you get cell service in the wilderness of Pennsylvania, as you like to call it?
Yeah, well, not always, but, you know, you cross roads. Sometimes you go through towns. Sometimes you, you know, we'll even be going through some farmland, right? So, like the Appalachian Trail, while it's in the woods, is, you know, it still crosses through and, like, is often parallel or adjacent to some type of civilization at certain points. And, yeah, there will likely be a handful of opportunities for me to take advantage of some mobile gaming, should I attempt to.
Let's be fair, Tim. It's Pennsylvania. It's not civilization. That's not going to happen. It's not West Virginia bad.
Sure.
Right. If I'm going to take a shot, why not go after one of the big ones?
Right. So I guess my question to you, I'm only familiar with, I've done a little bit in Jersey when I was up in Atlantic City last year. And then I took advantage of Circa's app when I was in Vegas. Have not done it elsewhere, though. Do you have any experience with Pennsylvania's apps?
Because of their tax structure, the lines that you get on the Pennsylvania apps are not nearly as good.
And is that consistent for – because I've heard Sugar House specifically get slammed. I wasn't sure if that was an issue specifically with them or if they were just an example for what everybody is suffering from.
You know, after you see it once or twice, you stop looking.
Sure.
So I'm you know, if I lived in Pennsylvania, I would probably do more extensive research. I only find myself in the great state of Pennsylvania probably once a month, thereabouts.
Okay.
So to me, like, it isn't worth the research. I'd rather focus on, you know, what works well in the state that I live in.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect anything great. I think the cost to play is too high. And as Governor Christie said, it was rolled out as a rolling dumpster fire.
That's how he put it.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with him. Right. I think the words were colorful. But if you're going to tax at that much of a higher level than your neighboring states, the product that the books can put out will not be nearly as good. They're going to take more points on each side.
Yeah. Well, very good. I will likely see if there are some sign-up offers and bonuses that I can take advantage of initially. But to your point, it's probably okay. This will, you know, that I don't have other portions of the AT to do up there because I may not care to do any gaming with them after I exhaust any offers that may be available.
Yeah, and there are offers available. You can absolutely milk the system a little bit. And my understanding is some of the ones that put out a New Jersey app, the bonus is still available for Pennsylvania, even if you're an existing customer. I don't know that to be universally true, but I do believe that to be true in some cases. So your mileage may vary.
Sure. Okay. Very good. Well, one of the things that I enjoy, Eric, about hiking is some of the mental health benefits. And this is as best of a segue as I can do into a subject that we had intended on talking about last time, but we ran a little long. Last week, you and I briefly talked about, off air, the mental health challenges that dealers or casino staff may have in the environment in which they work in. And when you first brought this up to me, you started the conversation with talking about how mental health and how mental illness and suicide in the dental industry is at a higher rate because of the implication that a dentist is inflicting pain on their customers, and that, you know, very few people are excited to see their dentist or go to their dentist, and who knows how that weighs in on it. And I think it's interesting to then look at the casino industry and think about what it's like to be the dealer who is dealing to a table of good people who they enjoy being around, or not, but being, you know, they're the ones who physically pull the money from your betting circle and put it into the rack, and that may have an effect. What did I miss anything in that intro? What fill the gaps for me?
So let's start with this has nothing to do with Dr. Mike. So I don't want anybody to believe there's any correlation there.
No.
I think the backstory is important. So I have mentioned more and more frequently my profession is in financial services. I took on a new client who owns a dental practice, and I was unable to procure the life insurance that is needed because when they did their research and due diligence, it turned out there were suicidal ideations and things of that nature. Now, I'm not stating that dentists are I'm not saying this is a common thing with dentists. However, when I did my research to find out, you know, well, what else can I do for him? It turns out that this is a common occurrence within the dental field. And the thing that I was told, and this is all done from an actuarial standpoint, so, you know, this is law of large numbers, they tend to be there's mental nervous conditions that are far more regular. I don't want to say regular. They are far more – they occur more often within the dental practice, and it is simply because they are watching people in pain regularly. You know, Pete, you go to the dentist for, you know, your regular cleaning, and you go to the dentist when something's wrong. And when something's wrong, you're probably already in pain. And when they're digging in there, you're still in pain.
Yeah.
So they're spending a lot of their time watching people in pain, and that weighs on a person. And I thought about it afterwards, and I've wondered for a while, right? Like the casino industry, people that have been doing it for a while, and the ones that are customer facing specifically, they generally have an edge to them. There's generally at least a callus. And I think it makes sense.
I think callous is such a good word for that, by the way.
I think it's the appropriate word because it doesn't mean that they're being mean and it doesn't mean that they are not customer service focused, but they are watching and possibly through no fault of their own, it's just the job, inflicting pain on a regular basis, repeatedly, with an expectation that the next day is going to bring more pain that they will inflict. Now, some people may enjoy that, and I think that's you know, whatever.
Slightly sadistic, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, sociopaths exist too, right? Yeah. I'm not suggesting any correlation there, just, you know, different people. But if you were a normal person and you just enjoy gaming and you like to gamble yourself maybe, so you decide to become a dealer and, you know, you become proficient and what you do now is I choose blackjack as my example. Your job is to turn cards as quickly and appropriately as possible while protecting the game, protecting the rack, and moving the money from the player's circle into your rack.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And with repetition over and over and over again, most people are going to start to feel either bad for the player or feel bad about what they're doing. Like, it's just normal, natural. You, over time, would grow this feeling that, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing. Right. And you would have to grow a callus so that either you don't care about the player, and I'm not saying the player is the victim. The player is willfully putting their bet in that circle.
Right.
So the player owns their right to be there and whatever the outcome is, but the dealer as an employee, right, as his vocation, is seeing it go badly more often than not.
Yeah.
And I think that would weigh on a person. And I think that callus, which separates, you know, the better from the humanity of the better, it has to occur one way or the other. Either you hate players because they are, you know, listen, a lot of players are dicks. So, you know, as a dealer, I might enjoy watching some people lose. But everybody else, you really can't care because you are doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's, you know, repetitious. It's monotonous. And it involves inflicting pain. And I think over the long haul, it's not only natural that they build this callus. It has to happen. And, you know, employees of casinos get treated, you know, differently than most other jobs. I don't know too many places that have an employee dining room anymore. Like,
right.
That's like a perk that's held on to. Like, they probably have to do extra things to keep casino employees, like, to keep them wanting to do this. The money might be good compared to other options, but at the end of the day, not every job has you going home feeling however it is that they feel. And I don't know that they care I don't know that they necessarily care or know that they care, but I think that type of grind has to weigh on a person.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything to add. That was very well put, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I think we might need to put a some sort of a warning at the head of the show, like, hey, this isn't going to be super happy. You might want to if you're already not feeling so great about things, maybe skip this one. Or you know, if you're looking for happy, lighthearted banter, come back next week.
So when you first brought this up last week, it made me think of someone. I don't know if it was Annoyed Pit Boss or if it was another character in the Twitterverse that we follow that works inside the casino, but someone was talking, someone had mentioned, this is like almost a year, year and a half ago, that I saw the tweets, who knows how long ago the story was, but they watched a newlywed couple like sobbing at the craps table because they had gambled their honeymoon money away. It's easy to look at the assholes, the degenerates, the I don't know if there's another word to even put there, but like there's so many characters at the betting table that are at the table that I think it's easy to, even though it's, you know, you can be like, oh, that sucks, but you can kind of dismiss it because they know better and don't care, or their behavior, their attitude kind of makes it easy, you know, justifies not caring about. But when you have people who are clearly nice people or who are not being a bother or whatever, and you see that sort of situation. And I mean, I remember seeing someone at the craps table. This guy was shooting it every time he got the dice. Like, I could see him, like, say a prayer. I'm like, come on, point. You got to hit. I don't know how badly this guy needs it, but this has to happen. And when you know, seeing that as a fellow better is tough. Being the person, as you've said, as you point out, that actually has to take the money and remove it from in front of the better and place it on the house's side, and continually have to do that, and watching the disappointment, the sadness, the crying, it's got to be rough. And I think it's important as gamblers, especially in this community where our gambling is often regulated by ourselves, right? We, you know, most people that I know in this community, I've watched people in this community display very great self-control, watched them display very great behavior at a table, whether they're winning or they're losing, not only to the people at the table, but the dealers. But I think it's important to remember that a dealer, as you put it, who may be calloused, there may be a long history of why that is. It may be for the betterment to, you know, it may not be the best idea to dig into that just if you know, when you're simply losing or having a rough time.
Right. Well,
yeah.
So it isn't just the sadness, although that exists, right?
Sure.
If you go to a casino on a Friday or Saturday night, you tend to see people drinking, having a good time. It's a social situation. The music is playing, right? But if you look around a casino at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, it's a different atmosphere. And maybe not every casino, but most, right? If you're in a resort destination, then, you know, everybody there is typically on vacation. But, you know, other than that, there's a fair amount of sadness and there's a fair amount of negativity, and it's a chronic situation. And, you know, people are empathetic at varying levels, but I think everybody has some level of empathy. If you are continually in that condition, I'm sure it'll wear on a person.
Yeah.
And I don't mean over a week or a month, probably not even a year.
Yeah.
But the continued exposure to it over and over and over again has to build up. And I have documented issues that I've had with dealers and floor personnel. And, you know, sometimes an asshole is just an asshole, but other times I think it's possible that, you know, people are assholes because of the conditions that they're in. And I don't have a solution for it, but I do think there are probably some occupational hazards towards specifically towards mental health, but also towards all other aspects of working in a casino.
Yeah. I think one thing that this conversation is going to help me be more mindful of is how I display the comments that imply that it's the dealer's fault we're losing, right? Right. And I know that the dealers aren't causing me to lose before, but at the blackjack table, in the heat of the moment, right, it's like, oh, you did it again. Like we can't beat you, right? There is, even though we know, we know that it's not the dealer's fault, in the context, that's just how it, the dealer's the one that's, is putting out the cards. So those comments goes towards them. And I'm just going to be more mindful of making sure that, one, I am more, that I do that more in jest than I do with any sort of serious implications, and making sure that those comments aren't constantly targeted towards the dealer and try to make it towards the cards or just the situation at hand in general.
Yeah, the other portion of it is, if I speak for myself, I think in my normal everyday life, I'm a generally affable, easy to get along with person. I have my quirks, but I don't. I behave differently in a casino because for some reason I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have a couple of drinks, and not that I'm giving dealers or floor personnel a hard time, but I probably snap at them quicker than I would somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anybody else does that. I'm just owning it. That is, part and parcel of the process. You feel like you get screwed over and over again, and you tend to take it out on the next person, and that's not right either. But yeah, I would consider myself, generally a good guy to be around.
Yeah.
And I can be an asshole. So yeah. Imagine when a regular asshole walks in and kicks it up a notch or two.
I have definitely, and I know, I'm pretty sure I told the story on the show, and I apologized to the table staff minutes after it happened, but we were playing craps at Horseshoe Baltimore, and the staff, the dealers had done nothing. I don't think that the dealers had done anything wrong up until this point. I think I was actually even more annoyed with players at the time. But there was a roll, and I thought, and the dice landed on its corner, and I thought that they too quickly called it and moved it before really ensuring that they were calling it correctly, because it's supposed to be called the way if the die were to fall flat with the object being moved, that's what it'd be called, right? And I wasn't convinced that they made that assessment well enough, and I got upset and I left, and then I came back and I apologized, because a lot of that and I think this is something that we deal with in multiple parts of our lives, where there is something else that is bothering us, and then someone does something to actually get us to put that energy out, and then we give them way more than they deserve, right? And I think in the casino, there are a number of things that can start causing frustration. Losing, obviously, is an obvious one. Waiting too long for a drink. A couple dealer mistakes, might start getting frustrating, even if it's,
benign.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was no impact to wins or losses. It just maybe they had a redeal, or they had to be, it's easy to get frustrated with stuff like that. And then when something actually causes you to burst, it's often too much, right? It's often way more than the person who's in front of you has to deal with. And I imagine in the casino, you got six people at a blackjack table. If the table's losing, if the drink service isn't coming around long and coming around fast enough, something else has been going wrong. Maybe the floor manager's being difficult about something. And then you have this dealer who taps in, makes one mistake, and has to deal with the outburst from the table. You know, they're in that position. That's the environment they live in, but it's definitely unfair to them. And I think it's important to be mindful of what that experience might be like.
I think it's a good conversation. I don't know how this is going to be received.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, people are going to tweet at us and be like, fuck you, I'll be an asshole if I want to.
Well, that would be an accurate statement then, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. Yeah. And look, and you know, you've owned up to, you know, to your behavior in a casino. I definitely have been that guy. I think that the courtesies that we try to give other human beings in other parts of our lives, we need to be mindful of that and, you know, attempt to provide the same courtesies to dealers and casino staff, even if they're pulling away our chips.
People are doing their jobs, right?
Yep. Yeah. Right. Yep. Okay. Someone messaged me and I said, hey, we'll talk about it on the next episode. That was before the last episode. And I didn't get around to it. So here we go. I'm just going to read the message. Hi, Tim and Eric. Wanted to thank you for a great podcast. It's always a great listen and offers great advice. Helps me before my next Vegas trip from the UK. Wanted to ask you a question. A couple of bookmakers over in the UK offer immediate payout on both money line and handicap for NFL games if your pick goes up by 2 touchdowns. The bet is settled as a winner no matter what the end result is. Is this kind of offer available in the US, and how would it work out the edge it offers? Thanks for the great pod. What are your initial thoughts? Thoughts on that. I know that we've talked about how points bets and other opportunities allow like buybacks, but I've not heard of an, like just an automatic payout.
That's what points bet does.
Oh, okay.
So it's they vary it. The promotion varies by sport, and sometimes they do it with money line, and sometimes they do it with spread bets. And so there is a regular amount. So let's use NFL football, where I think they advertise either on the app or on the website. First $100, usually that's a spread bet, up to $100. Whoever scores the first touchdown, that's graded an automatic winner. So they will regularly have games where they're paying out both sides.
Interesting.
Right. Now, it can be sometimes it's a cash payout, sometimes it's bonus money, but a lot of my action with points bet is on promotions like that. To go further, if your action with them is substantial enough to have a host, your host will expand that $100 to a much larger number. So you can regularly get action down where, all right, first touchdown wins. And you still have the bet on the game.
So what's the benefit to them on offering
marketing? They don't have a brick and mortar location.
Okay.
It gets people like me interested. I mean, they're hemorrhaging money. This is not a profitable endeavor.
Right.
Their marketing spend is, I mean, I would imagine it's a multiple of their revenue.
Yeah.
Right. If we factor all this under marketing, I mean, how much action can you take under those terms? And they've been doing this since the beginning, and they do it in every sport, and they have promotions. I mean, it's definitely they're an Australian company, PointsBet. So this isn't a European company, but it's a lot. It's the European model. I mean, they go heavy promotions regularly. I don't watch TV much, so right. I don't know if they're advertising, but my assumption is they're not doing an awful lot of TV advertising. You know, right now they're in New Jersey and I think one of maybe Indiana. I'm not sure. They're elsewhere than New Jersey, but I think New Jersey is definitely what they're focusing on right now. If I were to go through the promotions that they have, because, you know, right now we have football, basketball, hockey, and then some lesser – I think they even have Tiddlywink promotions.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. With the exception of, and this is true of all of the New Jersey app-based sports books, with the exception of you really can't get your money out as quickly as you should be able to. I mean, it's an amazing value. And if the question was, what's the math on it, I'd have to sit down and really kind of work on that, because there's a number of permutations depending on the promotion. But the money's good. Get your money in where it's good. It's good.
Okay.
Right.
Well, very good. So, I mean, are they trying to play? So, like I said, they're hemorrhaging money. Do you think this is a, if we do this long enough, other, like, we'll get a big enough customer base where we don't have to do this as much, or other books will not have the longevity we will? Like, what's.
Yes.
The latter. Both. Okay.
Both. Yeah. I mean, I think when you – if you look at the different skins as different sports books, there's an awful lot out there. And they all came in guns a-blazing with tremendous promotions to get market share.
Yeah.
It's highly likely that – and it's still expanding, by the way. It's highly likely that we're going to start to see some of the lesser performers tap out. I mean, you know, how much money are you going to throw at something that isn't profitable, and for how long? And your major players that have a brand that they want to protect, you know, MGM is striking deals with everybody. They're not the promotion hungry type. You know, they have a customer base. They have brick and mortar. They have a lot of things that, you know, a company like PointsBet doesn't have. So they're going to spend the money in marketing, and they do their market. Not only do they do it via, you know, promotions to sign up and promotions on different bets that you make, they have the Karma Committee. They were like the first ones to make it like public, like, oh, that was a bad beat. We'll give you your money back.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think of the New Jersey legal books, I'm probably 90% of my action at PointsBet now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a yeah, there just isn't really and I use resorts a little bit, resorts online, when, because sometimes their lines are advantageous, but they don't have the same type of promotions. Caesars and baseball every once in a while, but, you know, I haven't even looked in the Caesars app since baseball season ended.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, you know, for a value customer, PointsBet has made, and by the way, so for the people who thought that MGM Springfield sponsored the other episode, PointsBet is not sponsoring this episode. I'm not getting paid to say this.
Yeah.
Just for, although PointsBet, if you're listening, I mean, call me. We could talk.
Word. Yeah, everybody save your hate tweets.
This
isn't a sponsored podcast.
Exactly. I'll tell you when it is. If they want to write a check, we'll take it, but we'll tell you that it's sponsored. Yeah, they give way more, and they've been pretty good, as long as you don't expect to get paid right away.
So, yeah, I've heard your stories about that for sure.
Oh, there have been a couple where I haven't even mentioned them on the show. I mean, it is laughable, and this is not a PointsBet thing. This is every app-based sports book in New Jersey. You should be able to go to a cage and collect your money without there being this intermediary step.
I remember when I was in Atlantic City, I think it was for Gamblepalooza, I'd opened a DraftKings app or account on their app, and played my promotion, or I can't. I just remember there being like so many. Like you did something at the. It just blew my mind that what I needed to get done couldn't be done at the counter in the sports book. And like I remember having to go to like the cage, and then they were like, well, or not? Was it the cage? I think it was. And they were like, well, we need. Have you gotten your code yet? And I'm like, what the? Why is this so difficult?
Right.
Like.
So, all right, I wasn't going to bring this up on the show. This is an older story now. But
okay.
Last time I went to resorts, I had money on the online account, which links to their sports book, the mobile app for the sports book. And my use for it is not what it once was. So I had too much money sitting in there, and I wanted to reallocate. And again, yes, you can – I don't know if they offer an ACH. Some of them offer an ACH to your bank account. But I'm there, right? And I'm a cash guy. I would much rather have cash. So you go to the cage and they say, no, you have to go to a separate window. You go to the separate window, which is empty. Like it's
– Of course it is.
The window's there, but there's no person there. Finally, they call – somebody over. It takes about 20 minutes. You fill out paperwork. Not that the paperwork takes 20 minutes. Probably 18 of it was getting the person there and, you know, signed into the computer and whatever else they have to do. You fill out the paperwork. You give them all sorts of information. And she says to me, and I've heard this line from other sports books, okay, we have to review your account. If I have an available balance and no pending action, what is there to review?
Right.
Right? Now, I'm sure there are terms and conditions somewhere, because we all just click, I agree, and I sure as hell do, because you're not going to read that garbage.
Yeah.
You know, if they think you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, I guess they reserve the right to withhold your money or whatever.
It's like we have not gotten your sperm sample yet. So you're like, what? Like, yeah, it's right here in terms and conditions. Much to like, oh.
I had plenty of time to kill, let me tell you.
Yeah, look, so, is this going to take a while? Because I could knock some out real quick that I've been meaning to do all morning if this is going to take a while.
it could be a schedule conflict otherwise.
Yeah.
So she says, okay. So she calls this woman. I say a woman. I don't know who she called. She called a person. And they're like talking and they're looking at my account. And, you know, I'm standing there online and I'm you know, polite and waiting. It's taken a while. I mean, they're on the phone, I don't know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. It was a long time to review my account. She gets off the phone and she tells me that my withdrawal has been approved.
Okay.
Okay. Give me my money.
Right.
Well, no, now she has to call over to the regular cage to get the money. And now she has to get the money and bring the money to me. It was easily with nobody in line. And admittedly, part of it was just a time waste because the window was empty. And it took probably about 35, 40 minutes from the time that I went to the unpersoned window to get my money. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I think Resorts does a great job. They're one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the other ones, you know, you wait a day.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a day. So I think in New Jersey with the European model, they look for square bettors who are never going to have to withdraw funds.
Right.
And it's a function of deposit, play until you lose, deposit again. It's almost like the sports betting version of a slot machine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's,
they
it's
create
a really great way of putting it.
Yeah. So that wasn't what I wanted to talk about, but since we got there. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Hopefully that answers that question. Where are we at? I think we're about where we want it to be.
Can I cover one more thing? Because if we wait another week, by the time I get to it, it's going to be too old.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, the love affair, my love affair, you can opt in or out if you like, with Circus Sports and the D.
With New Fitzgeralds.
New Fitzgeralds.
Yeah.
So, two stories. One, it's not really a story. It's just, did you see that they are closing down the showroom to make a proper sports book?
I saw they're closing this, down the showroom. I did not know it was for a sports book.
Yeah, it's going to be a formal sports book.
Wow.
With viewing area and everything. And, you know, I feel bad for those that perform in the showroom. And yeah. They're going to have to find a new home. I certainly wish you well. I have been in that showroom a couple of times. A couple of times for the summit. I went to Jokesters, I think it was called, a couple of times. I wish everybody well, but it, like, from my point of view, it like just keeps getting better. Better. My disappointment with Circa, if I had one, is that there isn't a place really to sit and watch a game. They would, you know, you could go to the view bar, you could go to the long bar, but really not a sportsbook environment, and they are going to solve that. So I am very pleased to hear it. I wish everybody over there well, and I think Jeff Benson and his people will continue to do a fantastic job, and we will just have, you know, more of a sportsbook feel to enjoy it in.
Yeah, very good.
Story number two. I have an update to or sooner.
This may be one of my favorite running jokes we have on the podcast, is the or sooner.
Or sooner.
Yeah.
Well, now we have to accept or later.
Or
so,
Mr. Rosenthal, we're going to need this in 30 days or later.
Well, that's how it worked out.
Oh, okay.
So in New Jersey, in almost every jurisdiction, when you sign for a marker, that marker is going to the bank on the deposit date. In Nevada, they tend to have a little bit more flexibility. So I operate under the assumption that when you take a marker, it's going to the bank on the day it's supposed to go to the bank. Well, the D, I'm just going to call him Will. He's on Twitter. I don't want to use his last name. Anyway, works at the credit department. And he sent me like a bunch of emails approaching the deposit date. And what happened was I had withdrawn my marker. And before I left, I made a pay down in cash for more than half of the marker's amount. So, you know, Will is updating me, and I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, okay, so it'll go to the bank for a lesser amount. Well, apparently the way that they do it, at least in Nevada, and the way that the D handled it, was when you make a pay down – they're still going to draft the full amount of the marker, and then they would have to mail me a check for what I had paid down on it, which worth thousands of dollars. Yeah. So I didn't want them to recapture all, you know, the full marker amount after I had paid off more than half of it and then mail me a check for the balance. So I get Will on the phone. Couldn't be a nicer guy, by the way, and not that I expect any different there, but couldn't have been a nicer guy. And he was like, yeah, we really didn't want to do that either. I didn't know if you were getting that from my emails. And I was like, well, I was getting your emails, but, you know, I just assumed the balance was going to be drawn from my bank account. And he said, no, just, you know, get me a check. And I was like, all right, I will leave the office. I'm going to overnight a check to you right away. Just regular mail is fine. Just send me a check for the balance. I was like, well, isn't like the due date's today? Like, or am I going to have a problem here? Like, I don't want to have a problem with you, the D. I don't want it, you know, central to have a note that like I'm not paying back my markers. He's like, nah, it's not like that out here. Don't worry about it. Just send me the check. Or later, apparently.
Or later.
I think part of it is Nevada regulations. I think part of it is, you know, just a good guy.
Yeah. But
it was just like, you know, on the front end, or sooner. Yeah, just, you know, regular mail is fine. Just drop a check in the mail. We'll take care of it.
Regular mail is fine. Next time you're in town, whatever, right?
Well, he did ask when was the next time I'd be in town. I don't think they were going to let me slide that far.
Right.
But it was definitely like, you know, don't just pay back the balance and we won't have to worry about any of this.
Very so good.
That's my update on New Fitzgeralds.
So New Fitzgeralds, circa Derek Stevens, a lot of good things happening over there downtown for Eric Rosenthal, the sports better.
True. All true things.
All true things. Yep. Eric, still waiting for more details, but people have been curious about what 2020 might look like as far as opportunities to meet up. I'll just say that Biloxi is strongly in our future. You and I both intend on being in Biloxi in April.
That's just us being there.
That's just us being there. Yes. That's what I
Yeah. Anybody who happens to be there and would like to play craps or grab a drink, that would be great. But that's just us going in April.
Yep. And I have been talking with some other podcasters in the space. There will likely be one or two other small get-togethers elsewhere in the country. And I will leave that cliffhanger there. Eric, do you
As long as it's not Chicago, I think that's a great idea.
Why would you say that? Why would you? Goodness. Okay, more details to come. Eric, I teased the Christmas gift idea last week. I had a few people messaging me say, hey, that sounds like fun. I'm down. I will likely get something available. Your opportunity to be involved in that will likely come sometime between now and the next time the next episode that airs. And on the next episode, I will discuss a little bit more about how all that will work out. But thank you, everybody, for the positive feedback on that. I think it's going to be a fun thing to do. Eric...
In an effort simply that has nothing to do with varying religious beliefs, in an effort to one-up you, I will be sending out 8 presents for those who sign up. No, I'm kidding. I just thought that was funny.
That is kind of funny. That is pretty funny, actually. Yeah. Eric, do you have anything else for the listeners?
No. Thank you for listening. Good luck.
Very well. I thought maybe you were trying to close the show there with going into
No. Luck. Well, no. It came out of my mouth, and I was like, "Well, shit, I shouldn't have said that." But I do wish I do wish you good luck, and I'll let Tim say what Tim says.
Very good. You can follow me at The Better Life. He is at erosenthal1029. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show. And of course, thebetterlife.us/merch is where you can cop our t-shirts, etc. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back next week. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal, I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.